That is a hot take.
Prove me wrong.
I've never been wrong before.
Right. Yeah, you're wrong this time, Pauly.
Syracuse basketball is a name brand.
The cream rises to the top, Pauly. The Yankees will be there.
Pauly asked that question on purpose, and I just don't like Pauly right now.
Nobody needs a six-hour baseball game.
If you're going to lose that many faceoffs and you only lose by a goal to a number one team, is it really so bad?
You claim to my buddy Dow as his dependent
as a child.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I don't think you can get away with that.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Pauly Sebelia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Stephen Fonte, Pauly Sebelia with you up until 2 o'clock on a Monday edition of Orange Nation. We've got a couple of guests lined up for you. Our good friend Brian Higgins will join us at 12:30. We'll talk some lacrosse. We'll talk some women's basketball with Brian. Coach Q's ladies adding another transfer today, this one from Texas Tech, adding one over the weekend as well, Ebony Walker from Arizona State. So we'll get Brian Higgins' thoughts on the newest additions. Plus, we'll go over that that dreadful lacrosse game from Saturday. Q's falling to North Carolina 21-9. We'll also talk some NFL draft with Giants reporter Jordan Renan from ESPN. He'll join us at 1 o'clock, and we'll mix in your phone calls at any time, 315-437-7644. How are you today, Pauly?
Good. Can your first question to Brian Higgins be, can you smell that? Something smells horrible in Syracuse.
Yeah, that was a rough
the lacrosse
game on Saturday.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, that was a rough game. We'll get into lacrosse certainly as the show moves along. This team in serious jeopardy of not making the NCAA tournament right now, sitting at 5-4, just two games left, both against top five opponents, both on the road. Virginia, Notre Dame.
Good luck. Notre Dame
obviously already clocked Syracuse inside the dome. And Syracuse had its way with Virginia. The Cavaliers playing much better now and looking for some revenge. So two very difficult games left on the schedule for the Orange as they try to scratch and claw their way into the NCAA tournament. Last time they missed out on the tournament was, 14 years ago now. But that streak is very much in jeopardy. We begin the show, though, Pauly. We got to talk basketball to start the show. And I know that Jimmy Boeheim made his commitment to Syracuse official on Friday. It was midway through our show. We didn't really get a chance to chew on that news all that much before we had to get off the air. And then over the weekend, you know, we learned yesterday Robert Braswell has decided on his next destination. He's heading to Charlotte. So I figured we should start the show today talking Jimmy Boeheim. Obviously, Jimmy spoke with the media later that night on Friday. So we'll get into that here. But, you know, now that you've had a few days to kind of, you know, let the dust settle with this move of Jimmy Boeheim, how are you feeling about it?
I'm torn right now. I think it's a great news story. I just, and this isn't a knock at Jimmy, I'm sure he's a great basketball player. I just think that if Syracuse is in a position that they're going to have to rely on Jimmy Boeheim, that's not an ideal situation. I hope they prove me wrong, but, you know, if they get in a situation where Jimmy Boeheim's the answer at forward, I think they're in big trouble. But
you look at him more as a role player than necessarily somebody who's going
to
come in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what his role is on this team, you know?
Yeah, well, definitely. I think everybody's interested to see that. And some of it, a lot of it, depends on Quincy Guerrier, and we may not know for a couple of months what Quincy decides to do.
If Quincy comes back, there's not a lot of basketballs to be thrown around for the forward position there either.
Right. You know? And then they'll have their four forwards.
Yeah.
And they'll have Benny. They've got Quincy. We know Cole Swider's coming in, and obviously Jimmy Boeheim now.
Coach Boeheim said that they would play three forwards if they needed to. And that's fine by me because it seems to work. Maybe they'll strike gold twice in the Boeheim family, you know? I just think that if that's what we're betting on, it's not going to be pretty. But what do I know about basketball?
All right, let's get to some of the comments from Jimmy on Friday, beginning first and foremost with when he made the decision that he was going to attend Syracuse.
I mean, it wasn't made until recently. You know, had an idea it was, you know, maybe a possibility given the new transfer rules. But, you know, until the last few weeks, I wasn't sure. Had to wait and see, you know, who would leave and make sure it was, you know, the right decision. I mean, I wasn't going to come if we had, you know, five or six forwards. And, you know, it just wasn't a good situation. But I mean, just the way the new transfer rule is and the way things played out, ended up being a good fit and, you know, made that decision, you know, not too long ago, a couple weeks.
So Jimmy put his name in the portal back in November, and I think many people expected that this was going to be the end result back in November. Do I believe that he waited to see who came and went?
Yeah,
I think to some degree. I mean, if there were five forwards here, I don't think he would have come. You know, he wants to play. He's got 1 year left, and as cool of a story as you put it, as it would be, I think he would want to go somewhere and play his final year. Do I think that in November there was a strong likelihood this was going to happen, that, you know, things would work out for him to land here? Yeah, back in November, and as it got closer, it seemed more and more likely, to the point where, you know, in the last few weeks, it seemed like a no-brainer that he was going to end up in a Syracuse uniform. So, yeah, I believe it. I think he waited to see how the dust was going to settle. But, yeah, I think going back to the fall, many people had their eye on Jimmy Boeheim landing in an SU uniform.
Let's go back to what we were leading with, too. This makes the Robert Braswell thing a head-scratcher to me also. I don't get it as a out-of-shape old man why a kid would want to play at Charlotte over Syracuse. I think 15, 20 minutes at Syracuse is better than 40 minutes at Charlotte. And you know, maybe there was writing on the wall that we don't know about, but it's a head scratcher to me that the kids that were gaining time and playing well at the end left to go to schools that I don't get, but who knows?
Yeah. Charlotte, went 9-16, last year. And you say 15 or 20 minutes at Syracuse is better than, you know, playing 35 or 40 minutes at Charlotte. Obviously kids want to play. My knee-jerk reaction to that, Paulie, well, you want to win. Kids want to play. Kids want to win. And preferably, they want to do both. My knee-jerk reaction to your statement of, isn't 15 or 20 minutes at Syracuse better than whatever he's going to get at Charlotte? I get that. But do you know for sure that he was going to get 20 minutes per game at Syracuse? You know, maybe he saw the writing on the wall that Jimmy was coming. Or, you know, obviously, Benny Williams is coming in. You know, maybe he doesn't believe Quincy's going to go pro. Again, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and they get this opportunity to go anywhere they want and not sit out. He moves closer to home. He's going to get more playing time, so on and so forth.
Well, see, that's where I was going with this. This kind of contradicted what you just said. You wanted to, that Jimmy wanted to wait to see who was going to be there. And there may not, you know, if that is true, Robert Braswell would have been a good option off the bench. You know, he was playing great defense down the stretch. You know, Coach Boeheim doesn't blow smoke up people's butts in the media if he wants them to leave, or, you know,
sure,
you know, and he was very complimentary of Robert in the media, I thought. And
yeah, I don't think they wanted him to leave, Paul. I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think I'm contradicting myself. What I'm saying is, I think most people thought all along Jimmy was coming here, and maybe Robert was one of those people that, it, you know, no matter what, he's coming here. Would Robert Braswell have stood in the way of Jimmy playing? Let me ask you that. Let's say Robert stays. Maybe he thought, and I think most people, I think a lot of people, I don't know about most people, I think a lot of people thought Jimmy was coming here one way or the other. So if you're Robert Braswell and you have the opportunity to not sit out, go anywhere you want, get more playing time, get closer to home, so on and so forth, or you can roll the dice and stay. If you stay, you know Benny Williams is going to get a lot of time. If Quincy doesn't go pro, he's going to get a lot of time. And if you think Jimmy's coming one way or the other, and this was before Cole Swider, obviously, I think there's a better chance. Let me put it this way. I think there's a better chance that if Robert stays, that Cole Swider's not here than Jimmy.
Okay. So you don't think Robert would have been the third option off the bench is what you're getting at?
He may have been. He may have been. But maybe he didn't want to roll the dice. Maybe he wanted to be certain that he was going to get more playing time. Again, it's hard to speculate on these things because, again, we don't know. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know the interactions, the relationships, you know, what was said in the, you know, the exit meetings, for lack of a better term. And we know that they want four forwards, right? I mean, Jim Boeheim said, we've always had four forwards on the roster. So you know there was going to be four forwards one way or the other. You know one of them coming in is a highly regarded recruit in Benny Williams. One of them is a borderline pro player in Quincy, and he may or may not be here. And then the other one is the coach's son.
All right.
Are you sure that you're not the odd man out in that group?
I don't know. I just think it's kind of strange. He was playing more at the end of the season. I don't know. I don't get it.
He was.
And he was playing great. I mean,
you look at the postseason, and he played 21 or more minutes in four straight games. NC State, Virginia, San Diego State, West Virginia. Prior to that, let's see, to play at least 15 minutes, he played 1, 2, 3, 4. He had 5 games the entire rest of the season where he played 15 or more minutes. And several of them were early on. Niagara, Georgetown, played 20 minutes against Pittsburgh the first time around. I don't know. I know where you're coming from. I understand what you're saying, and I think they really liked his skill set and certainly liked how he played towards the end of the season. But between a highly touted freshman, a borderline NBA player, and the coach's son, you might have been the fourth out of those four. And so, you know, I get why he left. And I don't think the coaches wanted him to leave, and I know the fans certainly didn't want him to leave, but he wants to play more. And when you look at, do you want to play more or do you want to win? If you could only pick one of those, I think a lot of kids would pick play more.
I'm looking at the Twitch chat right now, Steve, and again, it's driving me nuts. If people are still stuck on the fact that Buddy Boeheim is playing because he's the coach's son after what he just did, you're a dope. You're literally a dope. You know, Coach Boeheim's probably going to play Jimmy. Yes. I don't think he's going to play Jimmy over somebody that's better than him. I'm sorry. He's here to win. You know, Jimmy Boeheim ain't rolling in and starting is my guess. So,
yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. But if it's, you know, if it's close between those two, we know Jimmy's going to play, right? If Jimmy comes here, Jimmy's going to play minutes. And maybe Robert Braswell didn't want to lose minutes.
You guys are more than welcome to call in 437-7644 and tell me in the past 3 years who would have been a better option at the two guard over Buddy Boeheim. Just answer that question. If you've got a good answer, I'll accept it. But there isn't one.
Yeah, I don't know how this turned into a conversation about Buddy.
Well, people still think he plays because he's the coach's son, and it's just stupid. It's a stupid, stupid take.
Yeah. I mean, you know my feeling on Buddy and his minutes, and this goes back to the beginning of the season. I mean, we knew he had to play a lot of minutes for this team to be successful. And sure enough, he got over COVID. He turned it on, played out of his mind for a month, and, you know, this team made it to the Sweet 16. Let's get back to Jimmy from Friday. And he commented on what type of player he is.
Hold, please. Where the hell is it? Oh, man. Oh, there it is.
No?
Yeah, I got it.
You know, I think, like Coach O had kind of touched on, I'm pretty versatile. Play inside, play outside, play the high post, can pass. I mean, you know, that losing Marek. Obviously, you know, great player for 4 years, did so much for the team. I feel like I can kind of, try to do some things maybe he did. He was a great passer, playing with Buddy and Joe and Cole and other shooters. I mean, it will be a lot of fun. They'll create space. I think I can, I think I can make plays happen. Hopefully, I'm going to make shots. I think just coming in with like a really versatile role, being able to do a little everything, playing inside, playing outside, rebounding, passing, shooting, driving. Just trying to make things happen, really.
And I do think, Paulie, that we've seen his game evolve over the course of the last 4 years. When he got out of high school, he was not a high Division I player, and he knew that. And Cornell was really his one offer, and he talked about that on Friday. That he didn't know if he was going to be able to go D1. He had his eyes on the Ivy League. Cornell's the one that reached out, and You know, he tells a story about how he contacted his dad when he got the offer from Cornell, and Coach Boeheim said, "You call them back and you take that offer." He was not a high major Division I player coming out of high school, but he's turned into that. And you know, that's credit to him for putting in the hard work. He's somebody who can come in and he can contribute. To your point, is he going to come in and be a starter and play 35 plus minutes? And no.
Well, he hinted at something there that I just noticed too.
Yeah, go ahead.
That he knows the coach pretty well. And if he's saying he can come in and do the things Marek did, that would put him at the 5, right? And he's 6'8", bigger than Marek
he
was.
He is 6'8". Yeah. Well, I don't think they wanted to play Marek at the 5, but...
Yeah, no, but coaches said they'd go 3 forwards if they had to. But who knows? What do I know?
Yeah. In terms of his game, he is versatile. Can shoot it, can rebound, he's got size, as you just pointed out.
He's 6'8", 215. You know, maybe he can, it's a big kid.
Maybe he can provide... He can provide some of what you know Marek brought to the table.
Did
so,
I get the angry people?
I think you got the angry people fired up.
Good.
Shall we go to the phone lines here, or do you want to take our first break?
Let's take the phone calls.
All right. Let's get to Pat
rest
Syracuse
from the break. Go ahead.
All right. He's kicking us off on the show today. Hey, Pat. Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. So I think the Jimmy Bam thing was a great pickup for the program. I was up in the air about it when I heard about it, because I didn't know, especially with Quincy coming back, you know, if he was going to come, because I would think he would want to start the starting minutes. But then I started thinking about it in my head. He's going to get starting minutes even if he comes off the bench, because I believe with his basketball IQ, he could play the 2 all the way to the 4. And one of the things that he can come in and come off the bench and get those minutes, because they're going to need people to sub in and out. So there's a wide variety of ways he can get those minutes to come off the bench. And I believe he's going to be probably a fourth scoring option, you know, in a lot of ways, even coming off the bench. With his basketball IQ and the way he can shoot the ball. And then you got the other kid, Benny Williams, coming in as well. I mean, this is just a recipe for success. And then you got the Zaire guy coming off the bench for point guard. And one of the things that they've really struggled with this last year is the bench scoring, not getting a lot of contributions off the bench. I mean, they got with the point guard, I get that. They got a lot of minutes from him, but they didn't have a lot of scoring off the bench, and this is what this Jimmy provides, and it's going to be a huge load off, because then you don't have to worry about Buddy being the only one who can carry a lot of this load. Now with the recruits that they got coming in, it takes a huge load off Buddy's back, and he's not going to. It'll give the opposing defenses a different look defensively to be able to defend against Syracuse. Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate checking in, Pat. Yeah, Symer Torrence, he's referring to there, coming off the bench at the guard position. If Quincy comes back, you're looking at both Cole Swider and Jimmy Bam coming off the bench, and then one of the centers, you know, either Brahm or Jesse as well. So they, you know, they'll have options. It's good to have options. You know, I do think it's a solid pickup, Paulie, for a position of need, especially when you don't know what Quincy's future is.
Right, and I just. Yeah, this is more of a thing, I think, on how much I think Quincy will help this team than Jimmy Boeheim not being, you know, a D1 player. I think it's, I think this team needs Quincy. But it's funny to hear, I'm not saying Pat's this guy, but usually the callers are complaining that coach doesn't play enough players. And all of a sudden, this year it's going to be a robust bench that's going to get lots of minutes, so. Well, let's see how that pans out.
Let's get one more phone call in this segment. We've got Dave in Syracuse up next on the show. Hey, Dave.
Hi, guys. Hey, Paulie, I feel like Steve just gave you a look when you said that. But here's what I think in response to what you're asking. Number one, no one is arguing that Buddy Boeheim wasn't the best option at the two guard. We know what this is all about. It's easy to say this now about Buddy, but he struggled early in the year, and he was still getting his 35 to 40 minutes. And, you know, what we complained about, that Kadari wasn't getting in, and we weren't at least distributing the minutes more. Now, I think this is a huge storyline going into next year. I'm very interested to see how this plays out, because Do you think Cole Swider knew that, that it was possible that Jimmy Boeheim might be coming to the team, number one? Number two, Jim yes. Boeheim says they always carry four forwards, so there's going to be another forward, whether it's Quincy or not. And let's be honest, Jim Boeheim is not playing four forwards in a game. I mean, we're lucky if the third one gets, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. So somebody is going to be left out. And I think it's a reasonable thing to ask ahead of time here if Jimmy might get more time that people are going to be complaining about, because we're going to have some talent at that forward position. I mean, obviously, Benny Williams, we think, is going to be a stud. And Cole Swider has been, you know, he's been sought after by Syracuse from the get-go. And I think, you know, we're going to be watching it very closely. You guys are going to be dealing with a lot of phone calls come wintertime about this subject. So I'm interested to see how it happens. Jimmy Boeheim is not, all due respect, he's not Adrian Autry Jr. He's a good player.
No, yeah, we understand that. The problem I have is that if Quincy goes, he's not a replacement for Quincy. Nor is Cole Swider, I think. But
no, but let's say Quincy doesn't come. Who would start?
That's going to have to be figured out in the offseason.
Again,
we can all go by perception of what mm-hmm. we know about these kids, but we don't know. We don't know how they're going to perform and what is needed to start. So.
Right. I just think the coach does have an affinity towards his kids, and I don't blame him for that, and they're both good players. So it's an interesting question. It's really going to be something to keep an eye on, because Cole Swider is I don't think he's a slouch, even though he had great numbers at Villanova. I think he is going to be an important part of this team next year, and you guys, your phone lines are going to be full come wintertime.
Yeah, and I appreciate you checking in, Dave. Yes, I think that Cole Swider knew there was a strong possibility that Jimmy would end up in a Syracuse uniform when he committed. And I don't think we can compare, and I know why people want to because of the same last name, but I don't think we can compare Jimmy and Buddy. Even early on this year when Buddy was struggling, we knew that he had to be a key component of this team, right, Paulie? I mean, we knew that he was the starting two guard. They needed him to have a big year to get where they wanted to go. He turned it on final month of the season, and they got to where they wanted to go. I'm not sure that they need that out of Jimmy. They need Jimmy to come in and be a solid contributor. But we can't sit here and say that, well, he only played Buddy a lot even when he was struggling because he's his son. I mean, again, go back to freshman year, you know, for Buddy. He played 17 minutes. You know, they weren't sitting, you know, Tyus or Elijah just to get him more time. You know, to your right. point, Paulie, he's not going to put his kid out there to sacrifice wins. He wants to win games. And Buddy, they needed him to be good this year to win games. And Jimmy, I think they need him to come in and be a piece to the puzzle. They needed Buddy to be a big piece to the puzzle this year.
Yeah. Here's the other issue I have with the whole forward position, Steve. It's crazy to think that you're hoping that a great Ivy League player and a kid who didn't pan out at Villanova are going to work out for you if you don't have Quincy, right?
Yeah.
That's not ideal going into a season, you know? There was a reason Cole Swider didn't play at Villanova. Right? Jay Wright.
Yeah.
Jay Wright's pretty good coach. I think Jim Boeheim would even agree with that. He's a pretty good coach. So you're just, you know, you're hoping that it wasn't the right fit. And
same thing with Saimir, right? I mean, Saimir started the first three games this year, fell out of favor, and didn't get much time after that.
I'm not putting Wojo on the same level as, you know.
Yeah, understood. But yeah, you hope it's a fit thing. You hope it's a change of scenery thing. Guy gets a change of scenery and he goes somewhere where he's comfortable. Saimir certainly is coming somewhere where he says he feels comfortable. And, you know, Cole almost came here the first time around.
Right.
And he went to Villanova and it didn't work out. And he talked about that, about how it wasn't a great fit from a basketball perspective. We've heard the comparison thrown around with Cole that, you know, maybe he will be used similar to how Tyler Lydon was used. I don't know. I mean, we threw that question out there. It's probably too early for that question to be answered, but we threw that question out there to a couple of the assistants, and you know, that it didn't get squashed, and so you know, we'll have to see how this whole thing develops. But you know, maybe there is a way Cole still gets on the floor quite a bit, you know, between the forward position and maybe even the five, depending on how things go. So we'll have to see how it goes. I don't know. I think we need to leave Buddy out of this equation, because this, you know, this isn't about Buddy. I know they have the same last name, but Jimmy is not coming here to play Buddy's minutes, or you know, the same amount of minutes. And he won't. Now, if Quincy's not here, there will be more minutes to be had and more minutes to be divvied up. But I don't think they're looking at Jimmy to come here and be and have the kind of role that Buddy has had. I don't see that. I think you and I are on the same page about that, Paul.
Okay. We're way behind, Steve. That's the longest segment we've ever done.
We're going to take one more phone call here, and then we're going to get to Brian Higgins. Yeah, we'll just take the whole first segment here up till Brian. Brendan and Manly is up next on the show. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, guys, I'll make it quick. I called you a couple weeks ago and said, let's wait for the dust to settle. Everybody was up in arms. And so far, from what I see coming in, I'm looking forward to it, number one. Number two, I think that we need to take a deep breath again about trying to find minutes for people. We don't even know where these kids are going to fit in as far as position is concerned. From what I've read, and I'm certainly no expert on this, from what I've read about Cole, Swider, Benny Williams, and Jimmy Boeheim, they're not exclusive to one position. So this notion that they have to play four, they have to play five, or they have to play... Cole Swider, I think, according to Coach Boeheim, is a 40% three-point shooter. I mean, could he be a big two? Maybe. Could Benny Williams play the two guard? Could Jimmy Boeheim play the three? So I think it's like, before we look at like, wow, this position is set, whether Quincy comes back or not, I think it's important to see what these kids do in the summer, how they work with each other, because they may switch from a two to a three or a three to a two or vice versa. So I really like the makeup of this team. I think they're going to be a really smart team. I already made a prediction with my brother that they're going to have the most 3 points made in the history of the program next year. That's my prediction. So I'm looking forward to it. I think they're going to be a really smart team. They got some experience. If Quincy comes back, all the better. But I know you guys are short on time, but I'm excited for what I see. I think we need to let these kids get together and see what kind of mold fits, and then make prediction on who plays and who doesn't.
Yeah, it, certainly a lot of versatility, and I don't think that's a bad prediction, Brendan, about the three-point shooting. When you look at Buddy, Jimmy, Joe, Cole Swider, you know, on down the list, they've got guys who can fill it up from the outside. So I don't think that's a bad prediction at all. And yeah, they do have a lot of versatility, you know, on this roster, and we'll see how it's utilized.
I'm going out on a limb. None of them are playing the two. Going out on a limb on that one. And if Buddy's not playing the three, call me crazy.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that either. But as we discussed, could Cole play
the five?
Yeah. Either forward position, you know, could he play three through five?
Yes.
Why not? You know, so in any event, I know we're up against the clock. We'll take a timeout here. We've got Brian Higgins set to join us on the other side. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk, and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. This is Orange Nation.
We got just a few minutes left in the show. Steve and Pauly with you here on a Monday edition of Orange Nation. I thought we were going to run out of time, but I guess we didn't. I guess we have audio from earlier today.
We can let people decide if you... if it was a yell, if it was a stern scolding, or if it was...
We need to set this up. It was during a commercial break, and Paulie and Jordan were going back and forth about Jordan being a Red Sox and Patriots fan. And then, Paulie, you were like, how did that happen? You didn't grow up there. And so Jordan started to tell you the story of how he became a Patriots and Red Sox fan. And then... the phone rang, and then I jumped in.
I'm a Steelers fan. I don't like.
You got a phone ringing there, Jordan. Save your story.
Oh, jeez. Save your story. I'm a Steelers fan. I don't like.
You got a phone ringing there, Jordan. Save your story. That was I did not scold him.
Yes, you did.
I feel even better about it. I feel even better about
you
it.
You basically
told
the kid to shut up.
I'm a Sixers fan. No, I don't like
it. Got a phone ringing there, Jordan. Save your story. No.
Save your trash.
There was a sense of urgency. False. There was a sense of urgency. We had about a minute left in the break, and it was a short segment as it was, and I was like, let's get to the phone lines. And that was Scooter. Scooter is partially responsible. That was Scooter calling us at the end of the first hour.
Save your story, kid.
To be fair, Paulie, what would happen if we cut up some of the stuff you've said to me?
This isn't about me. I don't pretend to be some Mr. Nice Guy.
I feel better about that after hearing it back.
What have I ever said to you? Don't answer that question.
So Jordan, not to leave us all hanging, I said save your story. You got a minute here. Can you tell the story in 1 minute? How did you become a Patriots and Red Sox fan?
What a wholesome ending to this whole thing. Well, when I was younger, I had long hair, and the Yankees have that policy, right? Got to cut your hair. Got to be clean shaven. And I was just like, I don't rock with these guys. I don't vibe with them. My family was Red Sox fans, too. Had a grandfather who apparently had some ashes sprinkled over Fenway. And I'm like, I'm riding with these guys. The Pats, I'm just a sad, shameful bandwagon fan who, when Donovan McNabb left the Eagles, I quit caring about them.
Okay. Well, at least you're honest. And see, Paulie, I wanted him to save his story because I wanted all of Central New York to hear how he became a Patriots and Red Sox fan, opposed to just those listening on Twitch. That was why.
You got to bore the Twitch viewers.
Zone.
I know. What garbage.
I feel good. I feel just fine how that whole thing played out.
I felt terrible. But you're not a nice person.
If I was too stern with you, Jordan, I apologize. Final thought, Paulie, before we go.
As it's warming up, Steve, if you barbecue with gas, you're not really barbecuing. Use charcoal. It's better. Everything tastes better, and it's more manly. So use
all
charcoal.
Right. And with that, we're done. Sportszilla coming up next. We're back at it noon tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.